And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, we've been talking about the Syrian refugee crisis. More than 10 million people have been displaced because of Syria's civil war. The United Nations estimates that as of 2015, there were as many as 65.3 million people forcibly displaced around the world. That's almost one out of every 113 people on Earth. Now we turn to David Simon. He's an author, writer, and producer of the TV show The Wire, among many other projects that include Treme, Show Me a Hero, and the upcoming HBO drama The Deuce. He's organized an event at Beth Am Synagogue tonight called City of Immigrants, A Night of Support. David, it's good to see you, man. Welcome back.
Pleasure to be back.
If you'd like to join our conversation with David Simon, our phone number here, 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org, and our Twitter handle @MiddayTomHall. So, David, what are you trying to accomplish this evening? We should say right up front, by the way, that this event is sold out. But tell us what you're trying
to do. Well, it's going to be live streamed, so you can watch it. I think the Washington Post site is going to live stream it. And you can always give money. And that is what we're trying to accomplish, which is right now the travel ban that's in effect, how it's affecting refugees, even visa holders, is something for the lawyers who are all working pro bono, but who nonetheless have expenses. And it is for the relief workers who are trying to deal with, as I'm sure you heard a great deal about in your last segment, it costs money, and human lives are in the balance. And it just got to me. Just as somebody absorbing the weight of the imagery coming out of Europe, out of Syria, I am like most Americans, unless you're one of the last Mohicans here. I'm an immigrant, a child of immigrants rather, and I have the photographs of about 11 people who couldn't get out, who were unable to leave Europe at that critical moment in the late 1930s, early 1940s, when it meant life or death. And I still have their photographs, and I can't look at those and think about this moment and calm down. So I kind of lost it.
You've identified four organizations: the National Immigration Law Center, the Tahiri Justice Center, the International Rescue Committee, and the ACLU of Maryland. Mm-hmm. The tickets for folks who were lucky enough to get one tonight are free, but you have to make a donation to one of those places.
Right.
But of course, as you say, people can still donate to any of those organizations.
And
watch the
streaming. We're pulling a lot of donations from people who say, from around the country, say, I can't get there, but the headliner really is Steve Earle. The great Steve Earle, singer-songwriter, consummate lefty, who I could lean on and his song City of Immigrants, which is a beautiful elegy to who we are as a country. He'll be closing out the program. And
What do you make of the sort of nascent state of the opposition to this administration? I mean, there was a huge rally in Washington and places around the world the day after the inauguration. Protests are common now anywhere the president goes. Obviously, I mean, that to some extent they were common with President Obama and all presidents before him too. But what do you make of the consummate lefties around the world who are trying to get themselves positioned?
You know what? At this point, the problem, one of the fundamental problems, in my opinion, pre-election, was the usual circular firing squad of the left. You know, I can't possibly get in a room with somebody who's merely center left, or even somebody who's center. You know, there is never, for the left side of the political equation, a popular front. It never happens unless there's extreme duress, unless it's really fascism or not. And I think seeing what we've done to the country now with this last election cycle, it makes a lot of the arguments, the pre-November arguments, fall away. They're almost embarrassing in their in how much of a screed they were compared to what the stakes were. And so I think people are seeing the stakes realized now with things like this immigrant ban, with the rollbacks on such basic things as, you know, environmental issues and ACA and everything else. And so I think it's not really just the lefties anymore. I think everyone's had a wake-up call. I hope so, because we need to wake up.
We should also mention that your production company, Blown Deadline Productions, is going to match donations up to $100,000. So that's a big commitment on your part and in your company's part. Is money the answer? I mean, and is money and economic the economic leverage that the left has, either from perhaps boycotting companies who aren't politically aligned with folks, or donating money to places like the ACLU. I mean, ACLU got $24 million the day after this ban went into effect. They've never had that kind of money
news,
in their lives.
Good news. I think the ACLU is going to be fighting the same battles on a lot of the same fronts for the next 4 years. I don't think these battles are going away. In fact, I think we're going to be greeted this week by some new version of a travel ban that will cost an equal amount of effort to contest.
So they need to get scaled up to meet the threat.
Money is not the only thing that is required here, but money is an asset like anything else. And I'd rather have more of it than less of it. It's the reason we also chose groups beyond the ACLU. A lot of these groups are working with actual refugee, doing casework and trying to get people, families reunited. We tried to spread it around in that sense. I don't think you do less with less. I don't think you do more with less. I screwed that up.
Yeah.
You do less with less. That's why they call it less. And so at some point, everything costs money. Even publicizing civic action works better when you can throw some money in. And that's something that we can all do right now, is to fund the basic core of legal resistance and legitimate civil disobedience to this, which is an offensive, anti-human policy. When you look at those families in the airports, I mean, you look at these children greeting their grandmothers, and you think, this is where you guys decided to draw the line. This is where you decided to make your nativist point. It's obscene.
And they drew that line, and tens of millions of people agree with the line. And part of it, perhaps, is the information that they're getting, which they're getting largely from tweets from the president himself and to a media establishment that is aligned with this administration. How do you answer a supporter of these measures who says, agrees with the president that it will, in fact, keep us safer, and people who have no trust at all in what you and I would refer to as standard legacy media? I mean, you're an old newspaper hand. You started your career at the Baltimore Sun. How do you answer a person who just doesn't trust the
New answer,
York Times
the answer
or the
to the
Baltimore
people
Sun?
Who are quoting alt fact at this point is beyond even me. We've entered in a brave new world where facts just don't seem to matter the way they ought to. Let's not devolve into a sort of a debate on the media now, because I can't fix it, neither can you. But what I will say to these people, what I would argue, is that we've reached this moment. We reached an American first moment once before in this country. In fact, the term America First has a historical precedent that belongs to the Tafts and the Lindberghs and the Father Coughlins, who said, let Europe figure out its own problems. Let them worry about them. America First. There's a selfishness to that. There's a cowardice to that that affronts anybody who's looking at these pictures of human beings in need. And ultimately, that has to be accounted for, which is to say, if that's your stand now, think about where you're going to be in 50 years. I have pictures of 11 people who didn't make it out, and I know their names, and I know the stories of what happened to them. They're going to be family upon family, millions of families, hundreds of thousands of families, who are going to be looking at pictures 50 years from now of people who had no political or religious or sectarian threat to anybody. They just wanted better lives, and you let them down. You know, you were for yourself and yourself only. I mean, Curtis Mayfield's got their number, right? You know, I mean, you know. Never mind. When you're quoting Curtis Mayfield, you're just too angry.
it's not something to laugh about, but it is true. I mean, there are a number of things that people have suggested can be done, and one of them is actually supporting legacy media. People have suggested, subscribe to the New York Times or the Baltimore Sun or the Washington Post. You know, bolster those
business
models.
Yeah, sufficient facts are in. that if you're hunting for unaligned fact and you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and you can't find it, it's kind of on you. Now, if you're searching for your own predisposed notions of what you want to believe and what you want to have true, you'll find that as well. And I'm not sure how to fix the second part. I'm not sure you can fix those people. I guess the answer to your question is there are going to be millions of people who are opposed to doing the right thing. There always are. There were in 1937 and 38, and there are now.
Do you think, do you see, as you talk to folks around the country, people in and out of the movie business and the TV business, as well as, you know, just folks who are unaligned with media or anybody else, do you sense that there's a coordination? Do you sense that there is, a basic organization to resist things like this executive order?
It's not hierarchical, as dissent often isn't. But within certain cohorts, yes. I'm doing this project with a group called Tech Solidarity, which is trying to mobilize anti-rightist, anti-fascist support within the tech industry, and is basically a nascent effort. I'm also working with other groups as well, media groups and other people who are feeling as if there needs to be a center to this. But as of this moment, I don't know.
Well, a lot of folks applauding what you're doing tonight. We appreciate it, and I'm glad you could stop by to tell us about
Thank you for bringing attention to it.
Thanks, David. The writer, producer, and author David Simon. Tonight's event at Beth Am Synagogue in Reservoir Hill will include, in addition to remarks by David Simon, the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Taylor Branch, the activist DeRay McKesson, and the actor and musician Steve Earle. Tonight's event is sold out. It will be live-streamed on the Washington Post website. We've got a link on our website for more information about how to help the organization that David has identified as beneficiaries of this event. Come to WIPR.org/midday for more information. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's Midday with the Mayor. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh joins me here in Studio A. Hope you can join us as well. Today, lunch for our guests was provided by The Diz. We thank them. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. They're open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. Here and Now is up next at the top of the hour. Thanks so much for listening. See you tomorrow. Have a great day.